The other day, I heard again that astronomers estimate there's something like 100 billion stars in our galaxy, and that there are something like 100 billion galaxies in the universe, and each one has about 100 billion stars in it. Other astronomers say that that estimate is far too small and needs to be multiplied many times. And so the bottom line is that's an awful lot of stars. And 99% of them we cannot see because they're too far away from us. So why did God create so many stars and so many galaxies when we can't even see them? Such an incredible abundance. And we see the same sort of abundance when we look at life here on Earth. For example, there are far more grains of sand on the beaches and in the deserts in the world than really are necessary. And there are flowers and blades of grass in the world, far more than what's really needed. And when you consider what God has revealed to us about the spiritual world, we see an even greater abundance of variety. For example, Scripture tells us that each person who has ever lived, is living now, or will live in the future, has been assigned a guardian angel. And our tradition tells us that some people who have special roles to play in the world are assigned multiple angels. And we're told that the angels are assigned also to protect churches and countries. It means that there's billions and billions of guardian angels, many more than the number of people on the face of the earth. But guardian angels are only one level or one category of angel. There are 9 different levels. And guardian angels are the lowest. And so who knows how many angels there really are, but probably trillions and trillions. And since angels have no bodies but are pure spirits, it means that each and every angel is its own species. So in the spiritual realm, there's an abundance and variety that we cannot even begin to imagine because we've never seen anything like it. As Scripture says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even dawned on the mind of man what God has prepared for those who love him. So why does God create and do things with such an incredible abundance and variety? Well, I think the answer can be found in Scripture, where we're told that God is love. It's simply in the nature of love to be generous, to give in superabundance. And the same principle, I think, can be applied to the sufferings that we see Jesus undergo today on Good Friday. As Scripture tells us that Jesus came to redeem us by the shedding of his blood, and that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. Now, the saints tell us that Jesus could have simply pricked his finger and shed one drop of blood, and that would have been enough to atone for all the sins of the world. The reason for that is that there are a huge number of sins in the world, but they are ultimately, in the end, finite. There is a limit to them. But Jesus is the divine Son of God, a divine person. He's infinite. So one drop of blood from Jesus is a drop of blood from an infinite person, the second person of the Trinity. And so infinite love shedding a drop of blood can easily atone for all the finite sins in the world. So the question arises then, well, why did Jesus not just do that? Why did he consent to going through all that horrible and torture and sufferings when he didn't really have to, when one drop of his blood would have been enough? Well, again, I think the answer is because God is love. Love does not do things in a minimal way. Love is generous. Love gives in superabundance. Love overflows and gives far more than necessary. And I think love wanted to be generous because love wanted to make sure that we would never, ever doubt God's love for us. Our faith teaches us that Jesus knew and loved each one of us personally and individually. That during his life, in his divinity, Jesus saw and knew each person from Adam down to the very last person on earth. And he saw and knew each sin that they would ever commit. And he basically said to the Father, yes, I will pay for that sin. Yes, I will atone for that sin. Yes, I will forgive and make up for those sins as well, and for all sins. And so in his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, all the sins of the world were presented to him in all their ugliness and horror. It caused such mental and emotional anguish that he sweated blood. And Jesus responded, though, with love and with prayer for each person. When he was arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin for trial, that was an illegal trial. The Jewish law specifically stated that no trial could be held at night in secret. Trials needed to be done in the daytime in public. And yet they conducted this illegal trial for Jesus. And so here Jesus is atoning for all miscarriages of justice in the world's courts. Then during the day, he was taken to Pontius Pilate, who had the power to release him. And Pilate realized that Jesus had done no wrong. But to calm the crowds and prevent a riot, he allowed Jesus to be put to death. An innocent man knowingly put to death. Jesus submits humbly and obeys. And so here he's atoning for all forms of disobedience. Jesus is taken and then scourged first, and he's scourged mercilessly at the pillar. Here he's atoning for all sins of the flesh, all sins of impurity, all sins of immodesty. The soldiers then crown him with thorns. Here Jesus is atoning for all sins of pride, all heresy, all the times people say, I know this is church teaching or what Scripture says, but I don't want to accept it. I'm going to basically make up my own gospel and do what I want. Jesus carries a heavy cross. He's atoning for all the times that people lose patience or lose faith because of the burdens in life. He falls numerous times along the way of the cross and then struggles to rise again. He's atoning for mortal sins and winning new graces for people in mortal sin to rise again. Then he is stripped of his garments. Jesus here is atoning for all forms of materialism and greed. His hands are nailed to the cross, and he's atoning for all the times that you and I and people stretch out their hands in order to commit or grab on to a sin. His feet are nailed to the cross, and Jesus is atoning for all the wrong paths that we sometimes take in life. Jesus took into his own body the penalty for all sins and for each of our sins individually. And to every sin and to every suffering, Jesus responded with prayer and with love. Father, forgive them. The love of Christ is unlike any love we have ever known and is infinite. And he puts it on demonstration for us and shows us in his passion. I read a story a while ago of a girl who was on a retreat. And in between talks, she went out for a walk. And during the walk along a path, she stopped in front of a beautiful and magnificent old oak tree, just admiring it. And shortly afterwards, she came back to the building to where the retreat was taking place, and she was crying. She was in tears. And the retreat master, the priest who saw this, asked her why she was crying. And she told him a beautiful story. She said how she was out walking along the path and stopped in front of this magnificent tree, admiring it, and suddenly, totally out of the blue, she seemed to hear the voice of Christ deep within her say to her, I would have allowed myself to be crucified on this tree and on every tree in the world over and over again if that would have been necessary to gain your love. And then she looked up with tears in her eyes and she said, Father, there's a lot of trees in the world. And I think that's the main message, one of the main messages that God is trying to give us through the passion of Jesus, that you are so loved. That you never, ever need to doubt in God's love for you. Now, sometimes that doubt can happen. It can creep up because we're human and we're weak. Sometimes we may encounter great sufferings in our lives. A sudden illness hits us that changes our life forever. Or the sudden death of a loved one. or there's financial problems or relationship problems, and we pray and pray and pray for a resolution and a solution, and God just does not seem to be listening. He seems to have fallen asleep. He's silent. He's not answering our prayers. And this may go on for years. And in those moments, we can be tempted to think, does God still love me? Does he care about me? Does he know what I'm going through? And the answer is yes. Just we know that by just looking at the cross. Jesus did this for you and for me personally and individually. 2,000 years ago, Jesus in his divinity saw and foreknew your entire life and every sin you would ever commit, even the ones you have not yet committed, but may in years to come. And he took them all upon himself and atoned for them. He also saw every detail of your life and my life and has provided a solution. The only reason that God remains silent at times and does not at times seem to answer our prayers when we're really struggling is because he's giving us an opportunity to walk in faith. And it's only by walking in faith that we can come closer to God. It's only through the struggle and in walking in faith that our hearts can be purified and strengthened. And it's only in walking in faith that Christ can save us and make us ready for the eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. And so let us today ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to really pray for us and help us. She was under the cross and she saw all this brutal suffering of her son firsthand, witnessed it firsthand with her own eyes and felt it. The saints say that everything that Christ felt physically, Mary felt in her heart. And just as Christ died on the cross, Mary died in her heart, but in a miraculous way still remained living. So Mary knows also what it's like to suffer grievously, and yet she kept her faith under the cross. She kept her love. Let us ask her to pray for us that we may always believe in the love that God has for us, never give in to any kind of doubts, and always continue to follow the example of walking in faith and walking in love that Christ has left us.